Brain Stem Cells. This is a six-part seminar given by Dr. Herbert L. Barley in Tucson, Arizona, on the topic of 10,000 brain cells that are stem cells ready to work for us as our personal genie. Stereo Light Learning Center presents Dr. Barley with a workshop on training my stem cells. And I'll read this little introduction here and then we'll take off. A concentrated effort, a concentrated effective healing workshop revealing the essence of neurogenesis and stem cells entitled Training My Stem Cells is given this Saturday, which is today, from 9 to 3. Featured is me. Science has found that the human brain creates over 10,000 new stem cells every day. These stem cells are waiting to be programmed by our thought to carry out both the healing of the body and the renewal of the body, to express its original purity and integrity. Dr. Barley will open several channels of thought for the utilization of these cells momentarily. Training my stem cells. I think that all of us have been wondering why children are so responsive to things that they're told. And the reason is that children have not been known to know the word no. They just know the word go, you know, and go down there and do things. And the reason for this is, science is now telling us, that every single day, 10,000 new stem cells are created in our brain. In our brain. So every day, 10,000 new stem cells are created in the brain and are ready to receive information. And if we give these stem cells the information, then they will respond on it in our body, in our mind, in our affairs. And it's just that simple. Now, we won't speak much about The Secret, but how many of you have seen The Secret? Okay, most of you. The Secret is interesting. We have a number of fine scientists and people there who are telling all about The Secret. And all that they're saying is one thing. They're saying that the people who are success in this world utilize the awareness of the stem cells. They utilize the awareness of The Secret that they can talk to their own stem cells and tell their stem cells what they want to do. I'm home perk. Oh, come on now, get off this, you know. And this babe here, I said, you're wonderful. She said, oh. I said, you're perfect. She said, well, I'm not perk. Oh, shut up. I'm perfect, and I see you perfect, and see you guys are perfect. Now, don't you ever pull me down from my star. You know what I mean? Yeah. Always come on up there with me, and you'll find that you really were there all the time. And this is the wonderful thing about a positive attitude of mind. Oh, there we go. That's a silly statement. Positive thinking and positive attitudes of mind. Who needs positive attitudes of mind? Positive attitudes of mind, no, not really. Positive attitudes of mind are things that we want to happen. Now, what is it that the stem cells want to hear? They want to hear the truth about you. The truth about you is your whole imperative. The truth about you is you're genius, you're wonderful, you're fantastic. This is the truth. Now, we can play the game that you're God. But why play the game that you're God? Because who gives a damn whether you're God or not? You are, and there's nothing you can do about it. You are, and there's nothing you can do about it. So let's not play the game. Okay, now, if you were God, and you are, and Would you create yourself less than perfect? Would you ever say of yourself that you're not perfect, that you're not divine, that you're not fantastic, that you're not glorious? Well, as a human being, you give yourself the privilege to do that. Because a human being lives in a world of illusions. And you're living in a world of illusions. One minute you're fat, one minute you're thin. One minute you're tall, one minute you're short. Have you ever heard that as people get older, they get shorter? Have you ever heard that? What a stupid thing to think. And why is it? Well, because we get slumpy, you know? We get bent over. Now, stand up straight. Sit up. Chest out. Tummy in. Butt in, you know? If you got breasts, show them off. That's what you're raising them for, you know? If you got a body, show it off. That's what you're raising for. This is God. This is divine. This is perfect. This is beautiful. Now, I had one woman on campus. She wanted to play a game. Well, we had some kids on campus at one time. And one of the kids was 3 years old, and she needed glasses because she couldn't see. So we got her glasses, and she could see. And she was so happy, you know. I could see everything, you know. There's a world out there. And unfortunately, she just hadn't had them before, you know. So all the rest of the kids, there were 3 or 4, they wanted glasses too. And I said, you guys don't need them. Well, we want glasses. I said, okay, let's go down to the oculist and have him check you over. So we did. And so they filled them with dumb glasses, you know, and showed them how it was. And we said, but you don't need any glasses. Just be glad you don't have to watch over them and take care of them and keep them from getting scratched and keep them from getting, you know, lost and stuff like that, slipped on or whatever. And finally, the phase left them. But at least we played the game with them so that they could have it leave. So they thought, okay, we're checked, you know, we're all right. Now, those same kids, they're redheads. You know how redheads are. And their mother was a big, heavy set lady, and their mother was always being sorry for herself, very sorry for herself. In fact, most heavy set people like me, most heavy set people are sorry for themselves. And as soon as you stop being sorry for yourself, then you get back to your perfect form. But this lady had, she couldn't drink milk. What's that term that she had?
Lactose.
She was lactose intolerant. She couldn't drink milk. And they couldn't eat certain foods. Daddy would sit at the table, I don't like beans, you know. So the kids didn't like beans. I don't like cauliflower. So the kids didn't like cauliflower. Well, they came up to the campus, and I tell the kids, also they burned easily. They always had to be covered up, because their mother always wore, you know, she's always fully covered. And the kids were that way, too. And so I said to them, all right, now, you kids, up here on the mountain, the milk that we have up here on the mountain is perfect. You can drink it, and it will not bother lactose intolerance in the size. That doesn't really exist for you. But I said, hey, this is up here on the mountain, up in Capitol. And so they started drinking milk, and they were perfect. It's the same milk that was down in the city that came up to the mountain, but that didn't matter. This was the milk on the mountain, and I told them a story, and they believed it. They believed it in this 10,000 new brain cells that were coming in, and with 10,000 new brain cells saying, oh, we can drink milk, we can do these things. And I told them the same about the food. I said, you sit at our table here, you eat everything that's served. A little bit. You don't have to eat a lot. And you start to get a taste. And you keep getting a taste of it, and pretty soon you don't mind it, you know. And they did that. And those kids, we put them a plastic pool outside so they could play. And we were out there, naked as jiggers, playing in the plastic pool. Splashing and playing, splashing. No. It was lunchtime, they came in. They ate, back to the pool. Supper time, back to the pool. They just loved it. Well, redhead. I told them, you tan beautifully up here because you see the sun doesn't have all the dirt and stuff keeping it down. You know, you're down in the city, you have all that atmosphere. And so the fog is falling, that sort of junk stuff. And they believe me. And so they played, and they played for weeks. And they had a perfect tan. Perfect, that never burned in the slightest, because this was a thought that was put into their mind. They believe me. They believe me. Always make sure that whoever put the thoughts in your mind, you want to believe. Not her. Not her who says she's not perfect. Now, are you perfect?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, now you can believe her. Now you can believe her. But you see, this is the important thing. Clean up your environment. Clean up the people you associate with. I don't associate with a black man. I associate with a beautiful, divine human being. You don't associate with a white man. You associate with a beautiful, divine human being. I go down to Nigeria, and in Nigeria, I'm the only white man there. And I don't know it. They don't treat me like a white man. I don't know how they treat a white man. But I don't treat them like black men because I don't know how to treat black men. And we just have a wonderful time. And they keep asking me that every year. I get all the shots to go to Nigeria, you know? But it's wonderful. And there's getting more and more students, more and more who are taking the courses, more and more whose lives are changing, more and more who were, I could wring my neck, you know, because they wanted to do it their way. And I said, no, you follow the rules of the program. And the reason you follow the rules of the program is because you're putting a new attitude about yourself in your consciousness. Well, then, they started following the rules with a vengeance. And I shouldn't say vengeance, with an eagerness and a delight. And every single one of them is being fabulous because they're putting new thoughts in their mind. I said, you're a genius. And they liked that idea. And who wouldn't? You know? I said, you're whole and perfect. They liked that. You see, this was the stem cells that are responding to that truth. Now we haven't had this scientific bit of information to go by, and Jesus told us, 2,000 years ago, and other great philosophers and teachers have told us, and who's the guy who's the father of medicine? Hippocrates? Remember him? Hippocrates, living B.C., hundreds, thousands of years ago, and I don't have any scientific evidence, any scientific subject that's worth on what they could see. And what did he say? He said, never give to a patient anything that you don't take yourself. Never give to a patient anything you don't give to yourself. And then he said, we only keep the patient alive long enough so the body can heal itself. The body can heal itself. Now, this is what Hippocrates taught. He's the father of medicine. He taught medical doctors from day one in his program. And what are they doing today? They're killing them. They're using all the drugs, and they're using all of the things, and we wonder why our kids get off onto marijuana and all these other interesting things that people get off onto. But the thing is, the doctors recommend this stuff, and they hook you on the medicines that you have to take. Now they're not doing bad. They're more merely doing what they're taught to do. They go to school, and in their school of medicine, this is what they learn how to do. And this is what you're learning how to do, as you are, and your studies, whatever it may be. And what kind of religion did you come out of? What kind of church did you come out of? What kind of a teaching did you come out of? You know? You came out of Catholic, or Protestant, or Hebrew, or Hindu, or Muslim, whatever. All of these different religious faiths, or none at all. You're an atheist. And what's wrong with an atheist?
Nothing.
Oh, yes. An atheist is the biggest problem of envy. Because an atheist believes in himself. An atheist has nobody to blame it on. He said, nobody out there to say, I'm a Catholic, and that's my Catholic teaching, and that's my Methodist teaching. He said, only himself. And that's tough. I wonder who do we know who's an atheist? Now, we have a musicologist here, but Pam, in every church I go to, we tell people to turn off their cell phones. And you go to the doctor's office, they tell you to turn off the cell phone, tell you that's wrong. And here's the boss herself, and the cell phone running. And I guess when you're the boss, you can do those things, huh? Okay, now. What's wrong with an atheist? The atheist has the biggest problem of anybody in the world, because he's got to face it by himself. He's got to believe in himself. He's got to know. Actually, I would imagine if every child were left to their own desert, they would be atheists. They would be believing in themselves. Because they don't know about a God outside of themselves. They don't know about a God outside of themselves. They don't know about something outside. They only know, and they don't know the words, but they only know there's 10,000 new brain cells every day that are being born saying, teach me, teach me, teach me. What are you going to teach me? What are you going to teach me? I'm going to teach you that you're whole and perfect. I'm going to teach you you're wonderful. Now, you heard the movie Bleep? Well, maybe not that one, but you heard the movie A Secret. And in The Secret, there are a lot of interesting things. A lot of beautiful things that are being said. But what amused me is how so many of the teachers wanted to be praised. They wanted to be praised. They wanted to have you admire them, Mr. Teacher, for their certification. They want you to know that they are a doctor. Well, now, in the dictionary, and I use the dictionary as reference for the way to do things properly, you address the Pope as His Holiness, but you don't address the Pope as the Reverend Doctor His Holiness, the Pope, you know. And so a lot of our speakers had many, many titles. And if they're going to put a PhD or a DSC, or they're going to put any other type of a DD behind their name, you don't put doctor in front of it. Because it just isn't done. And when you use good language, you use good language. When you use good phraseology, you use good phraseology. Now, if people are going to be educators and are going to misuse their titles that are being used, how much should you believe them? How well are they going to teach you if, when you see how they're being recognized, because they put the recognition down themselves and it was just merely copied, that if they're going to do that, they're going to say, they merely want me to believe what they believe. They don't want me to believe what I believe. Now, what do you believe? What do you believe? Do you believe that you have 10,000 brain cells that are waiting to be popped into place with whatever you were intended to do?
Well, I didn't know that that was what it was, but I absolutely believe that the body has the power to regenerate itself. And despite what doctors quote-unquote tell, I know it to be true. We're learning more and more about it. People who have difficulty with spinal injuries, you're finding that they can regenerate. You can regenerate your body.
Yeah.
And so, how do you do that?
Salamander can do it?
Yes.
And why can't we do it? Why are we saying, you did it? You did it? My goodness, yeah? And yes, you see, we have within us that ability. But now, you think that is so nice, and it is nice. 10,000 brain cells every day. You have emptied up trillion cells in your body. Trillion cells in your body. And of that 10 trillion cells of your body, more or less, I don't know how they figured it out, but only 5 trillion cells are your body. all the rest are bacteria. Bacteria that does very necessary functions in your body. Digests your food and takes care of your bloodstream and moves your bloodstreams back and forth, you know, the white blood cells, corpuscles and the red ones. And, you see, this is amazing. That is beautiful. You have a garden here. And this is a garden that you're nurturing, that you're caring for. But among the things we're going to be working on today, one of them is going to be what sort of seeds are we planting in our garden that we want to nurture so that our lives will be the living example of perfection that we are. Our original purity and integrity is perfection. Our original purity and integrity doesn't know anything else but perfection. Now, we've messed it up. We've messed it up, and we've messed it up with all sorts of statements that we've made about ourselves, all sorts of attitudes that we have about ourselves. And as we mess it up, what happens to us? As we mess it up, what happens is that, why don't you come up and sit with the rest here, and you can hear better, and we'll know that you're part of the group. So, how does that work? How do we nurture these things? How do we get our body to outpicture what we want it to outpicture? Well, to do that, we have to ourselves return to our original purity and integrity. We have to go, as the scientists are telling us, to those pure, brand new 10,000 stem cells. Okay, now. Aladdin rubbed his lamp and out came the genie, and the genie says, what do you want? No? What would you have me do? What would you have me do? Now, your brain is opening up 10,000 brain cells every single day saying, what do you want of me? Now think about this. Does anything exist outside of your thought? Your thought is the creator of everything that exists. Every idea. Now, do you remember that quote that you read me, Richard? All these beautiful cell phones. Richard read me a quote from Star Wars or something, and at the end of the book, the person is saying that they wanted to be themselves, and they wanted to recognize that they're perfect, and a few other little things. I shouldn't really be quoting it. I don't know. Richard just flashed it past me this morning as he was telling me some things. But we have the ability to have our bodies, our minds, think thoughts which are brought forth in our body. Now, why is it that you don't have the figure that you want right now? I mean, just saying it out. No, you don't have to answer me. The reason you don't have the figure that you believe is your ideal, your idea, your original purity and say, it's because you allow yourself to have thoughts that you do, you don't, you do, you don't, you do, you don't, you do. And you see, and if you're going to go bouncing back and forth with those, then you do, and then you don't. And then you do, and then you don't. You know, you're a yo-yo. And this is what we do. And until we settle down and be one-pointed, so one-pointed, we cannot have what we think we want. Now, what do you think you want? I'm going to ask you to, when we have a pause, I'm going to ask you to go to work during that pause. And during the pause, write down what you think of yourself. Now, it's not what you appear to be, you know. Not what you would like to be. But what do you think of yourself? What do you think of yourself? Do you think you're a woman, or do you think you're a man? What's the big deal about being a woman? What's the big deal about being a man? Are you human, or are you divine, or are you both? No. Do you have a brain, and is this brain unlimited, or is this brain limited? I only had a fifth grade education now. Well, Bill Gates, what did he do? He only had beginning of college, and he went on to be the greatest, wealthiest man in the universe. Wow! Who? Who's second wealthiest? Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett is the second wealthiest man in the world, and Warren Buffett is a flake. He is a flake. He has money, but he likes to go to thrift stores. You know what he's telling the universe? He's telling the universe, I didn't see the secret. Because in the secret, they said, the universe is unlimited. There is no limit to the amount of money in the universe. There's no limit to the amount of good in the universe. There's no limit to the amount of the cars. We'll dwell upon this point right now. Who's car conscious here? Anybody likes cars?
Well, I'll be honest, sir. I like to drive a nice car.
Now, don't tell me you'd be honest. I like to drive a nice car. Don't tell me you're honest because you're not honest. No, because if you were honest, you'd be driving a nice car.
I am driving a nice car.
Well, then say that.
Now,
could you think of any additions to your car that would be kind of fun to have? Just get it to have. Wouldn't it be wonderful if your car floated?
A sports car.
Don't get specific. A sports car does not say it. Would you like to have all of the comforts of a Rolls Royce in your car? With a really comfortable car. You sit in like a queen. Would you like that? Say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to have a car that has your own bar in front there with all the juices you want or any sandwich and you press a button and out like, what was it, the comic strip on television? The family would press a button and out would come. The Jetsons. You remember the Jetsons? Would you like a Jetson kitchen in your car as you're driving along?
And I'm not if I'm driving.
Please?
Not if I'm driving.
Please, now, don't go being silly. Would you like to have those things at your fingertips when you stop your car and you go for a side of the road, you want to have a glass of soda water, and you press the button, out it comes. Wouldn't that be neat?
That would be nice.
Okay, well, don't be so logical. Now, okay, let's take care of your problem. Your problem is that you feel that you have to be logical. Now, do you realize, you silly, silly, silly person, tomorrow, we're going to be having cars that are going to drive themselves? Do you realize it? You press a button and say, I want to go home, and we'll take you home. You press another button, say, I want to go to the office, take it off. You can't press another button, I want to go to Paris. Mm-hmm. And you're there. But you see, this is what I want you to do. I want you to be as crazy and outrageous and wild in your imagination as you can about a car. Now, you like nice cars, okay? Well, you said sports car. Well, what is it about a sports car that you like? Well, it's a racy little thing, and it zips around, and you just feel sort of young and snazzy in it. Yeah, how about that? That's great. But you see, now, do you know that there are cars that float? They float over the marsh and over the swamps, and that's not too unusual. So why not have them in your car? Huh? And you go out here to the lake and you want to go fishing, just drive that out over the lake, you know? And stick out your fishing pole. Yeah? And do you know that there are cars that fly? Well, why not have these are the things. Be crazy, because when you're crazy, your mind opens up to the realms that you never dreamed possible. And what you haven't dreamed possible has already been done. somewhere, somehow, in mind, if not in fact. And you could have that. Now, you are a very silly lady. You wear a suit of clothing that calls for red as a compliment. So you say, I want my car red today. And so the next day, you're wearing clothing that calls for a yellow car, a yellow compliment. So, and I want my car yellow. No, no, not that tone. I want a little more of this yellow, a little more orange in it, you know. And then the next day, you say, well, I feel very confident. I want a black car. Now, really snazzy, but I want black with tones, tints of this iridescence in it, you know, this metallic surface to it. Could you do that? Sure you could. Absolutely. But you see, this is what you want to do when you start thinking about your body, when you start thinking about your mind, when you start teaching your brain cells. Don't teach your brain cells that I don't drink and drive. You press the button and drive, you know. And I don't know if anybody here has a great desire to drink beyond a glass of wine or something like that now and then, but the thing is, whatever you should tell you, it's fine. But you don't need it. No. Let's play that game. What is it about alcohol that makes your body act in a certain way? It's a thought. You say, well, it's a chemical too. No, it's a thought. Okay. Why not say to your body? You want your body to be uninhibited, and you want to be sociable, and you want to be whatever you feel that alcohol does for you, you know? So you say, I am uninhibited, sociable, responsible, according to my understanding of myself, person. I never do anything that is wrong, but I do everything right. I never do anything that's wrong, but I do everything that delights me. Now, you see, when you start thinking that way, then you start training your 10,000 brain cells in your brain, stem cells, these brand new cells, waiting to be told what to do. I think this was a misnomer. I think rather than stem cells, they should be called genie cells. 10,000 genie cells waiting upon your request for them. Waiting upon your request for whatever you want these genie cells to bring forth in your life. And you don't have to rub your head for that, but you do have to speak your word. Now, well, I was with a lady, and she was 83 years old, and one of her friends had an operation, and so she said, I'd like to have a ball put in my hip. And she didn't need a ball in her hip, but Medi-Cal covered it, so she had a ball in her hip. And so she said, about my knee, you know, I need to replace my knee. So she replaced her knee. And so before she did this, she was sort of fervoring that a little bit, which she didn't need to do either. And I told her, you don't need to do that. So then, after she had these two things done, she still was fervoring. And I said, stand up, stand up. You know, you're like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Stand up, stand up. And she said, but I feel. I said, nah. So I turned on the music. And we were all sitting around the kitchen table. And I said, come here. And I said, dance with me. She said, oh. I said, dance with me. And I grabbed her around the waist, and we danced, and we danced, and we danced all over the living room, all over the dining room, all over the kitchen, and we danced, and everyone was watching us and said, hey, she dances good, you know. They didn't say anything about me. I know I do. And hey, she dances good. She's wonderful, you know. And then I said, okay, now, you dance. Now, you just dance, and sure. Now, come on, stick those breasts out there. You got them because you like them, you know. So stick them out there, pull in that tummy and shoulders back, chin up, and let's dance with, and let's be flexible. Let's not be stiff like a board, you know, but just be flexible. And you see, putting like that and not think stiff like a board. It takes two different definitions to do it. She did. She's glorious. She's just wonderful. And then the music stopped. And then with it, zoom. She fell right back into form like she had done before. And it's so silly. It's so obvious. She did it to herself. And the point is, you have to keep saying to yourself, I'm home first, I'm home first, I'm home first, I'm home. Regardless of the situation, you have to say, I am intelligent. I am wealthy. I have the best job in the world if you want a job. I am independently wealthy. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. You see, when you say these things, there is no room ever for you to say the contrary, or the contrary is your beingness. Whatever you put your cause in motion for yourself, that is who you are. And that is who you're going to be, and that's all. Now, who are you? Now, don't go giving me any facts here. I mean, you know what we're talking about. Yeah, you're God, you're good, you're perfect, you're fantastic, you're beautiful, you're glorious, you're intelligent. Now, who are you?
All of the above.
All of the above and more, right? You see, that's the thing. Now, you see, she cannot be all of the above and more. You know why? Because it wasn't important enough for her to say it individually. She should have said, I am whole and perfect. I am fantastic. I am independently wealthy. I am glorious. I am a woman of means, and I'm a woman of magnificence. Whenever I walk into a room, everyone wants to kiss my foot, and I say, no. And things like that, you know. And I say, yes, you know, because I know who I am. I'm the queen. I'm God. I'm fantastic. But when I'm talking to groups sometimes, they'll say, ditto. I said, ditto. My goodness, you think we're short on time and space and words here? Say what it is. And now, you're a woman. And she says, I said, and what are you? Ditto. You're not that woman. You never will be, because that woman is special and you're special. Each one of you are unique and wonderful and fantastic and glorious, and you are yourselves. And like Richard says, not very many people understand bombastic people like me. I get in there and I just pound away. Because that's what I believe. That's what I practice. And that's what I am. Now, I will say to you, I am 25 years old. Now, ask me what year I was born. Figure it out. What year was I born?
77.
So I'm going on 30,
so
60, 76.
You said you're 29?
25. You're 29, I guess. I'm 20. Yeah. See what I mean? So she's saying my age on her time. That's a joke. No, no, knock a few more years down. No. No, I'm 25. What year was I born? It doesn't matter. But, let's see, 75 to 2000 would be 25. And then you knock off 7 and ring up 11. Some people have the guts to ask me what year I was born. They want to know the real year. The real year that they think I was born, because they don't believe I'm 25. Now, if you cannot believe that I'm 25, if you cannot believe that, then you cannot believe that you're 25. You cannot believe that you are young, dynamic, life and supper and body and form and mind. You cannot believe that you are so glorious and so wonderful. Believe. This is the power of mind. This is the power of thought. This is the power of thinking. This is the power. What are these stem cells? Genie cells. That's great. Let's put that on here, will you? Genie cells on the top there. Genie cells. Now, that's great. Genie cells. Now, can you visualize Aladdin and his lamp? You know, he's got this lamp here, and he's wiping the dust off the lamp, and poof, up comes this genie, and the genie says, "What do you want from me? Would you like a pen? I'll let you use mine." Yeah. You see, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? I'm the genie, and my whole purpose in life, my whole purpose of being a genie is just to give anybody whatever they want if they can get to me. Now, you have 10,000 genies in you. Every day new ones. You messed up the old ones, you know. But every day new ones. And did you mess up the old ones? No. No. Every day you have been telling the genie in you what you believe to be what you want to have. Now, are you a glorious woman? Don't be so reluctant to say it. Yes. No. Put out the chest there and throw the shoulders up. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you saw the secret?
No, that's the part.
Yeah, that's okay. In the secret, there I remember, in the secret, this woman says to this man, "What do you want?" He said, "Well, I'd like to have 3 girls to date every week." Mm-hmm. And she says, "Well, you can't." And he says, "Why not?" She said, "Because everywhere around your apartment you have these pictures of naked girls with a cloth in front of them, and their head is thrown off to one side saying, 'Hey, you think I want to go with you?' You know." And the guy said, "Yeah, yeah." And she said, "Paint 3 beautiful women loving to be near you and around you." And so this painter painted 3 beautiful women loving to be near him and around him and put it on various walls of his house. And he had a very opulent house. And what happened? He had 3 beautiful women throwing themselves at him every day. Thank you. 3 beautiful women. And then, what did he say? He said, "I would like to have a significant relationship. I'd like to get married." Right?
Yes.
"I'd like to get married."
Romance.
Hmm? Romance. Romance, yes. Romance. Yes, romance. "I'd like romance. And I'd like to get married." Yeah. Okay, now, what did she tell him? And he did it. He painted this woman and himself, you know, and not in any untoward way, but a very loving, gentle, sensitive, romantic way. And next thing you know, he got married, and then they have a picture of him laying on the grass there with his friend, and she's feeding him a cherry. I think he's feeding her one, whatever. And you see, thoughts are things. His genie and her genie is waiting. Your genie is waiting for you to titillate it, to say, "Yes, I want that car that can do all these things." Can you imagine talking to a young man who's just getting his driver's license and just driving a car now for the first time, having really a lot of fun? What kind of a car would he like to have? Sports car, top down, you know, red. Red said, "I'm ready, world, I'm ready." And unlimited speed, even though he has to do that at the bottom of his own patch, you know, but unlimited speed with that big old engine in it that he surely doesn't need. Not for city street driver, he said, and what have you. You see, he's imaginative. a movie that I'll never forget. I saw back in the early 40s, late 30s, early 40s. It took place.
Oh, that's before 1982.
No. It took place.
Oh, okay.
I didn't happen to be there. No. But you're right. He's right. He's right. He said, you weren't there physically. No, but he's right. Okay, now. And you know what this kid did? It was like a very nice-looking young college kid. And he was working in his front yard in Los Angeles, you know. And he had this beautiful car there. And he was shaping it. It was a sports car. It was silver. And he was getting this engine. And he had the top. So this is before they even thought of the tops doing this. He had the top going up like this and going back and then down into the trunk. You know? And it took a long time before they finally built cars like that. But he built that way. This was in the studio lot property, you know. But it was glorious. And this kid had in that car, he had radios, he had music makers, things that they hadn't even designed yet. They hadn't even come up yet. But he had in his car some wonderful writer, some wonderful creative writer, wrote that in there. Now, was that perhaps the forerunner? Was that the thing that introduced those things later into life? You see? Quite likely. Now, do you know the quote that you read me at the end of that book? Can you say it out loud? And nice and loud? You want to repeat it?
Man is the adversary to the throne. He is the adversary to the stars. He is equal to the universe.
Man is the adversary of the stars, and he is equal to the universe.
And he is mankind.
And
he is mankind.
He is mankind. And that is who mankind is. Mankind is equal to the universe. Mankind is adversary or whether something that encourages the stars. You see, each one of that was in this science fiction book at the end of the book.
That was written in 65.
And it was
written in 1965.
65?
Mm-hmm.
Written in 65. Yeah. Now, I like the one Star Trek where Kirk had his adversary, this woman.
Yeah.
And this woman wanted to take over Kirk's spaceships and whatever. And so this woman inveigled Kirk into a cabinet, and she got into another cabinet, and the two cabinets were standing together, and she pressed a button, and she put herself into Kirk's body and put Kirk into her body. And so then she took over Kirk's starship, you know, and she wasn't a nice lady. But isn't it amazing? Think of what can be done? And then there's another star ship program.
Is it the Enterprise or the one that the more recent one?
Kirk. Yeah, going back there. They landed on a planet and they met all these little children. And the little children were very nice, weren't they? Yeah, that was one of my favorites. They met all these little children, and the little children were just fine. And then, as they were there for a while, the littlest children, the tiniest children, were running frightened for their life because they were going to be killed. Something was going to kill them. And so the starship knew they shouldn't intervene because that was against their program, you know, but they were still concerned. And they wanted, and then by the time they got to these little children, they disappeared. They just disappeared. And so they talked to some of the older people, and the older people said, we are born on this planet as mature adults, and then we get younger. So in our youthfulness, in our birthness, in our, we are in fabulous form, fabulous shape. We have the these stem cells, we have all these genie cells waiting to be told what to do, and we do it. And that as we get younger, we are phasing out. And then they're phased out totally. Now, I think that's a most charming way of looking at life, and I'm sure many of us have thought it'd be nice to be young and have years of maturity at the same time. But you can. You can. Anything, any one of these imaginative, wild ideas that comes from Star Trek or from many of these other shows, any of these scientific shows that many people think that science fiction is just fiction, it's just stupid, you know. And what's that show that started this all out? Twilight Zone was exquisite because it showed you here this one guy, he was so fantastic, so glorious. He was a person working in some shop, and he was very busy. He never had time to read, and so he took some books one day and he went into the vault and closed the door, and he was reading, and he read for a considerable time, and then he opened the vault and he came out, and meanwhile everything was in shreds, everything was blown apart, the whole city was gone, everything was gone. The only main buildings that were still standing was the library. So he went to the library. Oh, all the books he could ever want to read and nothing else that he has to do. The grocery store is filled with groceries, all that still is good. Take what he wants, or the canned goods. And so he sat on the library step and he started to read. And then he put off his glasses for a moment for some reason. And then something startled him and he turned around and he stepped on his glasses. And he couldn't read. And I thought to myself, this is how we, as human beings, come into this world. We have everything. We have the ability to do everything that delights us. And then we let ourselves step on our own glasses that keep us from enjoying what we could be enjoying. We step on ourselves by saying we're not perfect. We step on ourselves by saying we're not whole and perfect. We're not every organ, action, function of our body is whole and perfect. We step on ourselves by not taking our genie self and putting it to work and bringing it out into our life, into our world, into everything that we do. Because it's just waiting for us. It's just waiting for us. You know about Einstein, he's a cool guy. When he was a kid, he wrote all these beautiful theories, statements, and he was in his teens. And then the teacher said, out, you don't belong in this school. You haven't got the brains you were born with, you know. Because they didn't know how to touch him. They didn't know how. We had a lot of, what do you call them? Hyperactive children and things like that, and we don't know how to touch them. Well, there were a lot of Bill Gateses in the early years, we don't know how to touch them. Fortunately, they find out themselves, but we want to learn how. We want to learn how to touch these people. We want to learn how to train them, like I did with these young kids that came to the campus. I said, you're home perfect. You're wonderful. And every evening when I'd be giving a lecture, they'd all be gathering around listening and sound asleep, you know, but hearing every word. And then in the next days, questions would be asked. They'd have the answers. They heard it. They heard it. They applied it. Now, we don't want to teach anybody anything. And I think this is where we make our big mistake. We want to teach people things. We want to teach them ethics. We want to teach them the rules of the community. We want to teach them how to eat and how to live and how to exercise and how people are born desiring to exercise, to run and to jump and to dance. What do children do? They see an open field with the lovely grass in it and they want to go running across it and rolling down. And I took the gang to the sand dunes a number of times, and you know how sand is. It's terrible. Well, I said, all right, everybody, roll down and roll down the sand dune. And everybody rolled down the sand dune. And they screamed, and they hollered, and they kicked their feet, and they had such a good time. And then they got up and shook, you know, and the sand all went down. But they did it a number of times. Now, some of them were in their 80s. Some of them were in 60s, 50s, 40s, and 20s and 10s. They were every age. Rolling down that sand dune, acting like a child. And that's what it is, acting like a child. The normal athletic acting. You don't have to teach a child athletics. You don't have to teach a child what to eat. A child will eat what is right for it to eat. But you say, well, it needs more, this, it needs more. Oh, garbage. You need it because that's the book you read. And that's true. You need that food because it's the book you read. Now, I don't mean to belittle our cultures and so forth, but you go to these foreign countries. You go to Tibet, Taiwan, Korea. And what do they eat as their staple? The people living out in the field. And they're healthy. Oh, sure, some dying. But some dying are living in cities eating healthy foods, too. But they're healthy. And these people, they live in the field. And they're naked. And they're working in the rice field pits up to here in water, you know. And they don't think a thing about it. They're healthy. They don't know that they don't have the vitamins and minerals. They don't know that they don't have the variety of food that they need. Okay, now, you think you're so smart. So smart. Here's one of the biggest so smart guys. Maybe not, but I think so. He has dogs and cats. And he feeds these dogs dog food and cats cat food. And the dogs and cats eat their same old cat food, same old dog food, same old cat food, same old dog food, day after day, eager to have it. One, hey, I want my dog food, I want my cat food, where is it? Well, come on, come on, come on. They don't say, I want variety. Oh, we'll go for everything, but you know, because that's our nature, is to go for everything. But you don't need it. If he would be honest with himself and only feed his dogs dog food or cat food, nothing, no treats, you know, they would be the healthiest, wealthiest, wisest dogs and cats on the other side of heaven, you know? And of course, then they're in heaven. But the thing is, we train ourselves, we need variety. We train ourselves that we need, what kind of food did you buy with the store the other day? Natural foods or something like that, you know? Organic, yeah. What a joke, you know? Is there anything that isn't organic? Now, you take these chemicals that are put into vitamins and that are put into stuff, and it's better to have the natural oranges than it is to have the vitamin C, because the vitamin C is not better for natural. But the vitamin C is going to have exactly what you expect out of it, and the oranges are going to have exactly what you expect out of it. You take a dozen men on a ship sailing in the ocean, Columbus time, and as they're sailing in the ocean, six men get rickets and six don't. Rickets that lack the vitamin C. And so, why do six people get it and six don't? Because six don't think they need it, and six have heard somewhere that you get rickets if you don't get vitamin C, and if you don't get the orange juice, or you don't get your lemon, lime, and various other things. It's in a French. Now, what other word do we use for that? RC. Race consciousness, right. The brain. Race consciousness. Your brain has tied onto race consciousness. And race consciousness wants to tell us constantly, no, 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 you can't, you can't, you can't. And it's not true. You can. You can do anything you want to do. difficulty in doing anything that you want to do, and that's because I want to make sure you get a chance to start doing some of these things that you want to. The difficulty in doing anything that you want to do is that you remember what you do? What do? I don't know.
Like you know,
it seems out of... But be one-pointed. Be specific. Now,